The following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of Cumulus Media and FM 103.7 and AM 710 KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk. Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
That moment when you realize it pays to be a nerd. Yes! March for Science. Thomas Dolby on stage, wowing the crowd. The other person on stage, well, there were a bunch of them. The crowd wower. Overall, in general, the one who really hit the home run, Bill Nye, the science guy. Greetings, fellow citizens, he says, and this raining, pouring down rain. And we're marching today to remind people everywhere, our lawmakers especially, of the significance of science for our health and prosperity. I like this. I'm reading the article where it says, near the foot of the stage, a young woman with bright green pixie cut shouted, I love you! She was in good company. I loved him ever since I saw him on Stargate Atlantis. He and his cohort, the fabulous Mr. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Say that without going applaud. Anyway, so the two science guys, they're having a ball. And in the meantime, though, there is a seriousness to that, saying, hey, come on, let's get our act together, because we are going to be studying things like what I enjoy, the consciousness studies and the mind sciences and stuff like that, or just, you know, the space getting us from point A to point B beyond Mars. That's where all of these wonderful brains are going to help us. So that was a big over the weekend brouhaha. The other big thing this weekend, crop circle. Yeah, it's crop circle season. Kicked off again. This one doesn't look as fantastic as some of the others. It isn't as intricate. I'm sure the meaning is there, but they're still trying to figure out if it's one of the legit ones. The way you tell the difference is if you go into the crop circle, from people who've been in several more than I can count, they say it feels different. There's a sensation. There's like an electrical spark type energy that you feel inside one that is real and one that has been fabricated by those two dudes. And it was a wonder they could cross, you know, time zones, continents, do everything that they could with those boards and ropes. Anyway, Nessie has unfortunately been rejected for her office of UK residency. The Home Office said no. They were trying to make sure after Brexit that she could remain a UK resident, and that didn't work. The problem was that it was trying to get all the paperwork done. She's elusive. They couldn't get the signatures and passport photos and other information that are a requirement anyway. And the other thing with Nessie, right now, Nessie's been declared AWOL because in 8 months, there have been no sightings. And we had a really cool sighting. Some guy who does that on his lunch break every day had a nice, a legit look-like picture of you know, the typical Nessie photo. But it's been very quiet. So now they're wondering if Nessie has been abducted by aliens. Maybe not. Pacemaker for the brain. They've been working on this for a decade at least. They have had recent results saying that now they're actually able to pinpoint the area that they can, it's electric stim, that they can stimulate memory. And the deal is they're seeing some kinds of results that are predictable, and it means they might be able to help people, all sorts of issues, Alzheimer's, dementia, brain injuries. But this is really cutting edge and a really good sign that before they were just kind of doing it random. They couldn't figure out, they couldn't connect the dots. Well, that's happened. And that's probably going to help Facebook, because they're right now building the technology to read people's minds so they can type directly from the brain. Okay, secretly, all the secrets out. They put it in bold print on the internet. And it's really, this is, you know, when Elon Musk is saying that in 4 years he wants to have AI that's operational and you can put your brain pretty much, you know, implant, upload your brain into that, something like that. 4 years. That's just mind-boggling. Appropriately so. Anyway, so this is a cool thing. I think Building 8 is what it says. This is from the Independent, that it's crafting the technology and working on that computer interface. So there you go. The company showed off some of its secretive units plans during the speech at the F8 conference. Anyway, that one's fantastic, and you never know what they're going to put in there. Maybe some fun stuff. Higher state of consciousness, psychedelics, they finally are, well, somebody's trying to, again, say that they do serve a purpose, and this is something that might help people, especially with post-traumatic stress and that kind of thing. Again, once again, coming out saying that all sorts of mind-enhancing drugs, you know, that acid trip kind of thing, is actually somewhere along the line helping, and please continue to study it. I can't comment on that because I don't know anything about it, but I do know from Terrence McKenna and other people who are extremely informed that there are definitely some interesting results. 7 hours. That's the extra number. 7 hours. 2 hours training per week running will get you another life expectancy of 7 hours running, 2 hours per week. Now, you do the math on that. That's a lot of running for 7 hours. If you want to really invest your time, do the reading thing. Because the study right next to that is the one that says people who read for 3.5 hours a week, 2 years to your life. So reading, 2 years, and running, 7 hours. People of Earth, where are you? Have you seen that sitcom? It's missing. It's supposed to have season two. Good news, season two of X-Files. So we'll have to be settling for that. And then the last little really important thing here, demonic possessions can cause divorce. All right? Just so you know, they do cause divorce. Example, guy in Georgia in the 2000s. They divorced because she was possessed by a shadow being. According to the files, this guy, a gunsmith, was asleep when his wife screamed somebody was in their bedroom. He woke up, saw the shadow of a guy go into the closet. He turned on the light, went to look in the closet. Nothing was there. At that moment, said his wife changed. He was convinced she was possessed by a demon. We end up divorced due to her buying an insurance policy, trying to kill me, telling me she never loved me, etc. And then when she came to try and get back into his house, saying she was coming back, the demonic entity came partway out of her face in a ghost-like manner, made one heck of an ugly face, and went back into her. She gathered up her purse and left. There you go. Okay, frightening. Some divorce stories are actually worse than that. But that one, just saying that this isn't an unusual scenario. They're reporting them in other places that are just as colorful as that sighting, too. All right, so the happy news dog story of the week. This is a dog. Skydives. Arrow, the dog who skydives to save wildlife in the Guinness Book of World Records. I can't really talk much about it because the pictures say 1,000 words. Anyway, Arrow is a really cool dog and tracks down poachers. And you probably saw the viral of the week. That's the one where the little beaver is, you know, just kind of roaming across the pasture with 150 cattle who are adoringly following along behind. Have no idea where they're going, but they're there waiting for the moment when somebody says, okay, we're going here. Anyway, that was the hot viral of the week with animals. My guest tonight, PMH Atwater, we've talked before, but the stuff that she has done over the past, what, 4 decades or so in terms of researching after death, she had 3 near-death experiences. This is what she was told at the time that would be very important. One of the 3 books she was told to write that were crucial. And so we're going to come back and talk about The Manual for Developing Humans, and a lot more, with PMH Atwater. And it's just, she kind of saved the best. This is a kicker, all right? The Manual for Developing Humans. PMH Atwater, my guest, next on Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Hi there. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you're having a good evening, or day, or afternoon, whatever time it is you're listening, wherever you are. My guest tonight, I've talked with her before, PMH Atwater, had 3 near-death experiences. And from then on, basically from 1977 on, she has been studying and trying to figure this out. And this is the part that is really cool, because at the time, she was given some information that this was going to be an important part of that process, writing some books toward the end. And I'll let her explain that. PMH, it's good to talk with you again.
Well, hi.
Hi there. Okay, are we
ready? There we go. Do you realize you're the first radio station that I'm talking to about a manual for developing humans?
Excellent.
You're number one. Yesterday was number one talk that I gave. Today, number one radio show.
Yay, we got the first. Thank you.
Yeah, you got the scoop.
Thank you. Well, okay, so let's not dilly-dally here. All right, we did Dying to Know last time, the proof of God and the near-death experience. All right, so that was an important one. This, the one you're talking about now, is a very unique approach that you've taken with
I wish you had a copy of the manual with you.
I've got a
then
picture.
You would see.
I've got a picture. It's developed. It's the threes, no chapters.
That's well. Hold on, dear. The book without chapters now has chapters.
Oh well, okay, fine.
I didn't know until just a few days ago when I got my first copy that my publisher decided that the book without chapters needed chapters.
It can be confusing, yes.
Yeah. So it now has chapters. and here it is, six sections, with each section having three parts.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out how he decided there would be chapters. But he did.
Well, that's okay. He might have had assistance from above.
I guess. I don't know why he did it, but he did.
All right. So now it's organized with chapters. But the number three.
Well, it's not organized with chapters. He just gave the different parts chapter numbers.
Yeah. Oh, that rogue.
Yes.
You just, okay. Well, all right. Does it make sense?
To me, it doesn't. Maybe to other people it will. I don't know. All I know is the book is out, and the feedback, it came out actually about 2.5 weeks ago.
Okay.
That is to say nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting feedback already, and the feedback is blowing my mind. I'm getting feedback. A book club in Red Bank, New Jersey, are now studying the manual together.
Oh, yay.
A man who's a therapist is now using the techniques in the manual in his practice with his clients.
That was quick.
I had an individual this morning who just told me he got to page 14. He had to put the book down because he was so full of energy he couldn't read any further.
I need that. I need that.
You need the book. You need the manual.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, you've got one. That's a slam dunk sale there. All right, now, wait. Let's get back into this because what I have on the little write-up for this says that, aside from the electricity jumps from every page, this talks about spirit beings, bending time, rethinking money, and how to take out-of-body trips.
It has the basic... what would I say? It has all of the basics one needs in any area of life to be a full, real, complete human being. You know, we all talk about being more spiritual. We all talk about being more this, that, or the other. That's not the secret. We've got it all backwards. It's not about being more spiritual. It's about being more fully who we are, more fully a human being. You know, back in ancient times, the word hu, meant God. It was the sound of God. So the idea of human was God, man, God, woman.
Mm-hmm.
All the ancient spiritual and esoteric and religious teachings, no matter how far back you go, all say basically the same thing, that we are all gods in the making. If you open up the Christian Bible, there it says in black and white, we are gods in the making. This idea of trying to be this, that, or the other overlooks the one thing nobody teaches us. We don't get any classes on it. We don't have any focus on it at all. How incredible it is to be a full human being, to be all of us, to be all that we are. And you know, I found this in my near-death research. Nearly 4,000 adults and children. You know, I've been doing this for 40 years, written 15 books on my findings around the subject. And if you just look at the near-death experience alone, it reveals more about life than it does death. And what it reveals consistently is that all of us are more than we think we are. This idea of being psychic, this idea of being paranormal, OBEs, you know, and all of these crazy ideas, they're all normal to us. They have nothing to do with the paranormal. They have nothing to do with super anything. They're part of being a full, real human being. You know, in ancient times, they considered all of this stuff survival skills. This is what they used to survive. We've had it taught out of us, but, you know, we're full of it. That's who and what we are. We're this multidimensional human being. So the manual takes it from the beginning, who we are.
Okay.
And, you know, we're co-creators with the Creator. We are far more than we ever thought we could possibly be. And the manual shows you how to do it. You know, it's the companion piece. This is what you were trying to talk about and remind everybody of, my own near-death experiences at 3 and 3 months. You know, I start laughing about it and say, you know, I call that the heavenly sledgehammer experience.
Putting it bluntly.
Oh, dear. You know, most people forget the near-death experiences come from violence or trauma. Mm-hmm. So you've got a body to rebuild afterward.
Yeah.
And I was one of those that, you know, I had to relearn how to crawl, how to stand, how to run, how to climb stairs, tell the difference between left and right, hear and see properly, rebuild all my belief systems. So for a whole year, I was just simply trying to be a human being again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's where I started being clued into, hey, wait a minute, what am I saying when I'm saying I'm a human? When I'm saying I'm a human being. And I got a taste of that during these 40 years of doing this research. And the only reason I ever became a researcher was my third near-death experience. That was the one where I call it the voice like none other, because
yeah.
I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah.
Spoke to me and said I was to do this research. You know, I mean, who in their right mind, stop and think, who in their right mind would ever choose to be a researcher in a pioneering experience that a lot of people don't believe in?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, who would choose that? I was on my way to being a bank manager when this happened to me. I was studying bank management.
This is a complete shift. I'm basically opposite.
You know, and then you die and you come up with this other thing. And sort of like God says, thou shalt be a near-death researcher. And I'm saying, what? You know, what's near-death?
Yeah.
Never heard of that thing before. It was Elizabeth Kubler-Ross who told me about it. I you know, I had never heard of Raymond Moody.
Yes.
Or the book.
Kenneth Ring.
Yeah, never heard of those folk.
Okay, PMH Atwater, you hang on. We're going to get back into
this. Okay, I'm hanging.
All right. This is the book, now that it has chapters. Okay, we're going to find out more about the Manual for Developing Humans. All sorts of interesting things in there. How to take out-of-body trips. How to rethink money, which he's talking about. Bending time. But people who've had these near-death experiences often say that they feel completely different in lots of ways. But it may take a little while to figure out, you know, how to integrate the old me and the new me once that happens. So we're going to come back and talk more about that voice like none other, because that's also fascinating as well. So if you're listening, you can check out the blog, wendyscoffeehouse.com. We'll do it after the show, a little bit of an overview. But right now, it's Wendy's Coffee House next, PMH at Water on Talk Radio KCMO.
What's the explanation? Who knows?
That's right. Season 2, X-Files. It's a go. I'm still bummed. Haven't seen season 2 of People of Earth. It's got to come back. It's like a guilty pleasure. My guest, PMH Atwater, A Manual for Developing Humans. This is one of the books, that the third book that she was told to write during her third near-death experience. And, okay, the voice like none other. I know. What is it, an echo? Is it a male, female? Is it what?
I'm constrained to really describe that, but I'll try.
Okay.
When the voice like none other really is not a voice.
Okay.
It's not a being. It's not a person. It's not an angel. It's not an archangel. It's not a deceased relative. None of that. I'm familiar with all of those kinds of voices. Nope. None of that. How do I describe it? When it comes in, and it's only come in, it helped me do Future Memory. You know, that was the second book.
Okay.
It's the companion piece to the manual. So it helped me with Future Memory, but it helped me most with the manual. It's sort of like the air folds. And it sort of folds in, and it's like another dimension, and it's like another world, it's like another universe, it's like presence. It's not a presence.
Mm-hmm.
It's like presence.
Is it like a vibration where you feel it and there's a sensation?
It kinda. I do feel it. I do sense it.
Mm-hmm.
I do follow that kind of sensing, feeling. I don't even know what else to call it. The manual, interestingly enough, was the first book I ever wrote. And I sent it out to a bunch of folk, and they all sent it back to me, and they said, the world isn't ready for this. Put it in a box.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I put it in a really big box, and it stayed there for about 39 years. Until last year, and that's when, early in the year, my good friend Robert Van de Castle died. Now, a lot of people might know that name, Robert Van de Castle. He wrote the book Our Dreaming Mind, which is a seminal creation of dreaming, dream research. He was a worldwide authority in that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a good friend, and he died. And he knew about the book in the box. And when during his funeral service, I was seated, you know, third row, middle of the third row on the right-hand side, looking at the dais and all the pictures and everything. And I saw this picture of Bob, and he came right out of his picture. And right in front of my face, and he said, it is time. That's all he said, but I knew what he meant.
Oh, boy, okay.
So as soon as that service was over, I went home as fast as I could. I opened that box. Now imagine, Wendy, I'm opening a box that's been sealed for at least 39 years.
Mm-hmm.
The air kills you. You have to fumigate the place.
Uh-huh.
It took me a while before I could even stand to look in the box, you know, go through the papers in the box, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, this isn't half bad. So I started, you know, maybe update it a little bit. I'll do what I can. And you know, the basic the basic construct of the manual was there, but not how to put it together, and you know, all of these kinds of instructions weren't there, and what do I say? It's like I was afraid of it. It's like it scared me. It's like, what am I going to do with this thing? Mm-hmm. I know it's time, so I'm going to do it, but I don't know how. And there were many times when I was sitting at the computer looking at that blank screen and saying, okay, give me a word.
Just one.
Give me a sentence. Uh-huh. How do I begin? And it took the better part of last year to do it.
Wow.
And I did it. It's done. And scary. It's like, how do I, I'm a researcher. How do I do this? This isn't research.
No, it isn't. It isn't. This is experience. This is, and it's organic. It's, you've been there, done that. So it's a story. It's your reality.
It's not my reality. It's everybody's reality.
Oh, that's even better. Okay.
It's like the human race. It really isn't my story. I'm really not the author. The author is that force, that voice, that presence, whatever that was or is. It belongs to that, and it's going to be that incredible force that inspires people, that prompts people, that gets the book out. I can only do so much. I'm just one person.
Okay.
No, I don't have a public relations agent.
Okay.
No, I don't have a lot of megabucks. All I have is a website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, www.pmhatwater.com.
And blogs. You got the blogs.
Yeah, I've got a blog. I produce a monthly newsletter. It's free. I've got that. But and a wonderful webmaster who helps me put all this together. But what do you do with a manual for developing humans? You know, and when we're talking about something this big, something that we really can't put a handle on when we're using normal terminology, what we're really talking about is that sense of mission, that sense of a job to do. You know, we all feel that.
Yeah.
Near-death experiencers return with that sense of, I have to come back, I've got a job to do, or there's something that I need to do that isn't finished yet. So I couldn't die and stay dead. I had to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Invariably, they say that. So we're talking again about this source of mission and this idea that we all have a job to do. And if I look at other near-death experiencers, you know, I've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the case studies that I've had or other people have had, cases I've learned about, one of them is Marcel Vogel. I don't know how many people remember Marcel Vogel, the crystal man. If you know anything about crystals, he knew more. I mean, this man was the master of crystals. He died of double lobar pneumonia at the age of 6. And this is a 6-year-old kid. And during his experience, he's told by a voice. And he wrote it down as soon as he could afterward. And the voice said, and get this, you will be a phosphor chemist.
Mm.
You will do pioneering work in luminescence.
Oh, wow.
You will write a book and create your own business. And this is a 6-year-old kid.
Luminescence.
I'm sure he couldn't spell it.
Yes. That's a tall order.
And he did just that. He became this incredible inventor for IBM, worked for him for 27 years. It's 32 patents. what he did in the field of crystals and luminescence and phosphor is just blows your mind.
Yeah, I'm on the webpage right now. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Marcel Vogel. And his book, the title of his book, The Luminescence of Liquids and Solids and Their Practical Application.
That's kind of wordy.
Yeah. Well, you know, he became a scientist. Olof Sundén in Sweden. He died because of a botched tonsillectomy at the age of 14. And during that time that he was supposedly dead, he was shown all of the truth of the world, how things come together, how to do everything. So he didn't say anything to anybody. He waited until he was a grown man, graduated from college, got his big degrees, PhD and so forth, in chemistry. And then only did he go back to what he learned at the age of 14. And he took all of that knowledge, and he is responsible for 100 chemical patents. He turned around totally this idea of trees, paper, and pulp. And it's just marvelous what he did. Then if we're looking at adults...
Wait. PMH, we're going to take a quick break. Yeah,
okay.
We're going to take a quick break. And I want to come back to your stuff, too, because this is the most important book you have come up with.
Yeah,
so,
well, then let's come back.
Yes. Okay, so stick around. You're listening. This is A Manual for Developing Humans, PMH Atwater. And it's like, what is it? The icing on the cake or the cherry on top or, you know, it's a big deal. We'll come back in just a minute, Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House. If you missed the show, wendyscoffeehouse.com. Website, check out the blog, or you can listen to it. Audio Boom and iTunes and Google Play. All right, so there's some places to catch it. And there are three books, PMH Atwater, my guest, the one we're talking about tonight, A Manual for Developing Humans. And there are two other books that go along with this little a trinity.
Well, the first one was never named, so I'm not sure what that book was, except my sense is it was coming back to life, my very first major book. My sense is it was that one. The second book is Future Memory. The third book is The Manual. Now, A Manual for Developing Humans is all based on threes. It has six sections. Each section has three parts. Each of those three parts begins with the conscious aspect of the subject, then the subconscious aspect of the subject, then the superconscious aspect. So we're looking at each subject three ways. And that's true throughout the entire book, every subject. So the first one is the brain-mind. The second one is our bodies. The next one is our environment. The next is our relationships, our various exercises. Like the first one is invention science, then economics, investment service, government, law, and justice. Then our next big section, our triune guidance, things like religion, universal laws, spirituality, and then the last one, God's in the Making. Going back to what we have been told throughout time, really, and even right now, pick up your Christian Bible. It's there right now. We are God's in the making.
What does that mean?
What it means is if we are fully human, if we develop or become all that we can possibly be, then we begin the process of becoming co-creators with the Creator. This is one of the first things that near-death experiencers come to realize about themselves. that they are indeed far more than they thought they were, that they are indeed part of creation, part of the creators that make creation, part of that co-creation, standing with the God of their being, whatever you want to think of as what God is. You're part of that. You're not just a creation. You are a co-creator with the Creator.
That would be a tall order.
It is a tall order, and that's who and what we all are. And the book shows you that, and it gives you simple little exercises to be more of that. It's incredible what the book does, and it's simple. It's not big, fancy language. It's not science. It's the kind of things that that you can actually do.
Okay,
right now.
Bending time. That was right there before Rethink Money.
Yeah, I bend time a lot when I'm driving. That's the only way I can get to places easily and quickly.
Okay, so how do you think about that? How does that work?
Well, it tells you in the manual.
Oh, that's not fair.
Yes, it is.
I set that
up. I'm not going to give you a couple of steps, and you tell me that it's time for the next commercial.
Yeah, I know.
That's not fair.
I know. Okay, well, rethinking money while we're bending time and waiting for the...
Yeah, that's another part of the manual. And it's illustrated by 28 thought form drawings.
Oh.
I'm one of those people, many people are, who can see thought forms, hear thought forms, sense thought forms. Mm-hmm. And in my case, occasionally, not always, but occasionally, as thoughts come out, as they begin to manifest, I can see the energy of that force field or that force or that energy coming out and beginning to take form, that actual form in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And during the beginning process of doing the manual, I saw 28 of them, so I drew them. They're in the manual.
Okay, okay. So, okay, now let's another issue that, because we are going to run out of time. What is the most important part of the book? Why is there one theme, aside from becoming God-like beings, what is the big message that is
Well, you know, I think we've already got that. And what impresses me, what impressed me with all my research with the near-death experience and near-death experiencers, thousands and thousands of people, what impressed me the most and what is displayed and talked about in the manual is how incredibly wonderful we are to be humans. Mm-hmm. How incredibly wonderful our human body is, our human mind is, our human emotions are, our creativity is, our potential is. You know, we look about this, that, and the other. Well, hey, I'd like to be a scientist, or I'd like to be, a great actress or an actor. I'd like to be all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you already are. I'd like to be spiritual. I'd like to be a psychic. I'd like to be all these. I'd like to have all these abilities. Guess what? You've already got them.
And now we're going to get out of time.
You are
yeah.
A full, rich, wonderful human being, and the manual shows you about that.
Okay.
And it's going to blow your mind. There's all kinds of surprises, and it's doing that already.
Okay. So we got it. That's a good tease, all right? That's a good start. So now, if you're listening, PMH Atwater is the author, A Manual for Developing Humans. It's available now. I'm looking at it at Amazon. All right, so you can get PMH, I got to let you go. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we're not done with you yet, so take a break and we'll get back with you. Thank you for debuting the information here. We're out of here. I'm Wendy. This is Wendy's Coffee House. And like she said, you're already where you need to be. Just work it. Till next time, see ya.